Square Peg Show for June 16th, 2014. I'm Mike.
And I'm Jesse.
Today we are going to talk about the NASA miniseries When We Left Earth. And we will also talk a little bit about Star Trek Into Darkness, which just came out on Netflix a week or two back. But first, let's do a little bit of movie and TV news. Jane Lynch and Alan Tudyk will be in an Adult Swim show called Team Unicorn Saturday Action Fun Hour.
Holy crap.
Have you seen any Adult Swim shows lately?
Not lately. I haven't watched anything on Cartoon Network for a long time.
It was kind of like a ritual of ours 10 years ago. Oh, yeah. I feel so old now. Yeah. Space Ghost, the Brack Show.
C-Lab 2021.
C-Lab, yep, classic. But I think lately they've been moving more and more into live action shows.
Right. Once Tim and Eric happened, which, by the way, is atrocious. Paved that way.
But anyway, when they have people of that caliber on shows like this with titles like that,
I'll watch anything with Ellen Tudyk.
Cool. Sharknado.
Yes.
Back in season 2 of the Square Peg Show, we talked more about this, I think, because, you know, Sci-Fi Channel has a history of merging two things. I think it started with Mansquito.
Yeah.
And then Sharknado, which is brilliant. Not that I ever get around to watching these, but...
Oh, I saw Sharknado. It was amazing.
Yeah?
Yes.
Cool. And then they go on from that to, I think you said the sequel is coming out soon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Apparently the trailer just hit the internet, so I haven't watched it yet, but I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, it's one of those things where you sit around with a bunch of friends and a bunch of junk food and beer and just laugh hysterically at this thing that's taking itself so seriously, but on the, like, just below the surface, it's not. It's not taking itself seriously at all. I mean,
To be self-serious to a degree, or else it's not as much fun to watch.
Exactly, exactly. And it's like watching the Star Wars kid. Like, he's meaning what he's doing, but it is just bad. So that's,
talking about the YouTube clip?
Yes, and that's why it was so funny. But all I can say is that at some point in the first movie, Tara Reid is running around with an electric hedge trimmer as a weapon. But, by the way, not plugged into anything. So... You know what I mean? Like, these are important things that we need in our society. We have to be able to see these things. They're amazing. Oh, my God.
So, the second one is either out or coming out soon.
It's coming out, yeah.
And the third one will have Sharknado versus Terracuda. Half pterodactyl, half barracuda.
Oh, my God.
One of my kids' favorite superheroes lately, thanks to Batman Brave the Bold,
Terracuda,
is Bwana Beast.
Yeah?
And Bwana Beast's superpower is to merge two animals together.
Uh-huh.
So there's a cartoon where he mixes a spider and a horse together, or a pelican and a shark, and it reminded me of Sharknado. It's like, Bwana Beast needs to get a job at Sci-Fi Channel. anyway, Terracuda,
oh my
brilliant.
God. Actually, the guys who do Riff Tracks, have I told you about them?
Yeah.
They apparently did a live event. I think I missed it, unfortunately. But they apparently did a live event that was simulcast at all these theaters where they sat down and riffed on Sharknado. And I'm sad that I missed that. But
well, I'm pretty sure there's one coming to Florida. I can't remember the city in July.
Really?
Right. So you should go do that.
Maybe it is Sharknado. Maybe I didn't miss it.
You haven't missed it. It was just announced like really far in advance.
Badass. I'm there.
All right, cool. Because I want to hear about that. I'm not volunteering to go, but it'd be awesome.
Oh, we're going. And we're going to cover it.
I'll get dragged
there. Square Peg Show. It's going to be awesome.
Pacific Rim sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
I'm totally in for that. The first movie, I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, guys. If you haven't seen Pacific Rim, it's not a deep movie, but it is giant monsters, giant robots. There is no reason not to watch this and just enjoy. Like, the 10-year-old in you will just be giddy with joy. It's amazing. So
by Guillermo del Toro,
whose
name I say differently every time I
mention. Every single time, and that's fine. But no, it really was great. And I mean, but the visuals were fantastic. Even the story was great.
I saw the trailer. It looked great. I don't know why.
It's just one of those things where, like, if you ever watch the old Godzilla movies, at some point there was some guy as a superhero sort of a thing who grew as big as Godzilla, and then they fought in the city kind of thing. This is just that on steroids and crack cocaine. It's amazing. So, you know, a sequel would be great. And, I mean, I think they set up the universe well enough to warrant a sequel.
Cool.
So... I will watch that. I'll be the first one in line at the theater.
Ant-Man has a new director, if you've been concerned about this past couple of weeks.
I have.
Peyton Reed. We're not too familiar with him, but I mean, all systems are go because this is the Marvel movie machine.
Yep.
Things are not going to get delayed.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a script redraft. Is redraft a word? To by Adam McKay, the fella from Anchorman and other Will Ferrell movies.
Yep.
He will be so. It's definitely still have the comedic influence. It's not like they're going to totally change the way things are done. So.
I'm actually excited about that because I'd like to see Ant-Man eventually in the Avengers.
Because
I've noticed that the Avengers movies and a lot of the Marvel movies for the most part has been kind of running around the Ultimate Universe. And in that, in the Ultimate Universe, for sure, that Giant Man was part of that, the Ultimate Avengers. So,
and also, I don't know if you caught, but when we watched Captain America: The Winter Soldier, they mentioned Stephen Strange's name in passing.
Yep.
So Stephen Strange, or excuse me, Doctor Strange, the movie coming up pretty soon. There's some casting rumors, including Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Hardy.
Yeah,
I like both of those actors. I
Hell
think
yeah.
they could both do a cool job with that.
I'll watch Doctor Strange. Dude, the Marvel animated movie they did for Doctor Strange was actually really, really good.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that was fantastic. So, yeah, I think you could work on the big screen. It might be a little weird, but I think the comic guys will really get in there and like it.
Yep. Cool. All right. So, and I'm going to talk about Benedict Cumberbatch and his awesome Cumberbatching during the Star Trek.
Cumberbatchery.
Yes. But before we get to Star Trek, let's talk a little bit about When We Left Earth.
Yes.
I haven't seen this. This is more of a Jesse review.
Yeah.
So
it's
set
about,
it up.
It's about five or six episodes, and it really starts at the beginning of the NASA missions. The training of the astronauts, the discovering a new technology so it allow us to do this kind of thing. But what's cool is, you know, you watch these things on the news, and you're just like, yay, they're flying into space. But when you get all the footage from the launch, from actually exiting the atmosphere, when you're actually in space, when you realize that these people are moving at 17,000 miles per hour, and then they're just like, yeah, we'll just get out of the space capsule. You know, you start to see the size of these people's gonads to be able to do this kind of thing. Not only that, but to be able to sit on top of a giant rocket that could that has exploded many, many times in trials, you know, you could tell how awesomely brave these people are and what their missions really meant for our space travel as a species. So it's just really, really great. I mean, they get into orbit, you know, the whole thing with Apollo, the Apollo 11 that actually landed on the moon. It was Apollo 13 that had some major issues on the way to the moon that they had to safely get them back. They go all the way from the Gemini series all the way into our shuttle days now. Where, you know, we had a couple catastrophes, unfortunately. And I'm telling you right now, guys, to see that on screen, it made me sad watching it. And I knew, it didn't even happen. We didn't even have the explosions yet, and I was already sad, just because I knew it was coming. They talked about Challenger, and I was like, oh, God.
So they used a lot of actual footage
of
these incidents.
It's all actual footage and interviews with the real coordinators and directors and astronauts. So very, very cool series. If you guys haven't checked that out, please check it out. If you're interested in space travel at all in the NASA program, which, by the way, needs to come back.
Yeah, anytime we talk about this topic, I get a little sad because we no longer invest in these things the way we used to.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to say, hey, in 10 years, we're going to the flipping moon.
Exactly. You know, we're talking about that far back when Soviet scare was still kind of very real.
So it's competitive, too.
It was. And, as you know, there was the space race when we were racing the Russians. They, of course, got to space before we did. But what happened was interesting because while we have all this political turmoil that's happening between, you know, Russia and the United States, in the NASA program or in the space travel kind of situation, we started to collaborate more than anyone else was. It was us and the Russians, and together we made some of the coolest stuff. We've been building a space station. Right now we're using the Russian technology to actually reach the space station with our astronauts. Mm. So, I mean, it's cool when you have a whole crew in the space station that's multicultural, and that's just awesome.
What's interesting, though, I mean, we don't go into politics very often on the Square Peg Show, but Vladimir Putin has been basically invading Ukraine, and then the United States comes back and says, we're going to do sanctions against Russia, and then Putin says, well, we're not going to allow you on the International Space Station anymore.
Yep.
So, you know, things could, even though this has been a great collaboration, it could fall apart, is my point.
Well, I mean, and that kind of stuff stems from our leaders as opposed to these people who are passionate about doing this.
Which is what the documentary focused on was the actual people involved, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it seems like it would be a blow to the Russians and their space program as well to not be able to collaborate with us, because together we've made some of the coolest technology.
Right. Cool. All right, so that's that. And then let's move over to Star Trek Into Darkness. You know, Star Trek traditionally from the Gene Roddenberry days was the kind of utopian look at space travel and space exploration. So that's a little segue there.
Yeah.
this is the second J.J. Abrams movie. Now he's moved on to Star Wars. And they're still going to do a Star Trek 3, by the way, with somebody else. My takeaway from this was that, you know, this is the action kind of version of Star Trek. Right. I remember Star Trek Into Darkness. I mean, it opened up with like a sustained rescue operation, and that's a big action sequence. And then it goes on to more stuff. Whereas if you look at the old TV shows, it's much more cerebral and all this.
Yes.
You know, not everything made total sense, but when you have Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, and Benedict Cumberbatch sharing a scene together, Chris Pine, I mean, he's pretty good, I thought.
Absolutely.
Quinto, I'm a big fan of, and Benedict Cumberbatch from Sherlock alone, I'm a huge fan of him. Absolutely. Have you seen Sherlock?
I haven't, and I've heard a million great things.
You should get on that.
But I'm going to get on that.
so anyway, that was my take. It was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, it was like a big popcorn movie. What about you?
My issues with that movie stem from the original movies that have come out. And spoilers, guys. We're talking about Wrath of Khan. So, you know, we have Khan. We're dealing with this character. But there's something interesting that happens because in Star Trek Into Darkness, someone dies, just like they did in the other movie. But what's the interesting thing is that back then when we had the original Star Trek cast, we were starting to make movies. We made the first one, which was terrible. We made the second one, Wrath of Khan, which was a great movie. And they had enough faith in their franchise that they then stretched that storyline into another movie. So in the original series, Spock dies, and then they shoot him off into space onto a planet. There's a whole other story.
This was the second or third movie from the original.
Second.
The second movie from the original Star Trek movies.
And they stretched it over into Search for Spock into the third movie. It seemed like they had enough faith in it to be able to do that. Whereas this one, everything's wrapped up in a nice bow by the time it's all over. To me, that says a lot about the way movies are made nowadays, is that, you know, you don't want to stretch it out too far. We might not make enough money, and we might be in the red by the time this is all over. And it just feels like they don't have enough faith in the franchise. But in the movie overall, it was pretty good. I was happy with it. It was explosions and crazy, but my wife had one problem with it. And apparently there was a scene where they're running across a busy highway with these floating cars. And one had to slam on brakes, and it went... I was like, I'm done.
What's also funny is that this is pretty much a reboot, clean slate of Star Trek, but they still do this weird continuity thing where they try to make the older movies apply to this. You know, and we are doing spoilers. This movie is rather old. We won't ruin too much of it for you. But there was a scene with Quinto Spock and Nimoy Spock talking to each other. And Nimoy Spock says something like, "Oh, yeah, Khan, I can't mention too much because, you know, I don't want to drastically alter the timeline and all this. That being said, here's everything you need to know."
Yeah.
Khan's a really, you know, he goes into detail about Khan, so I don't know. That kind of goes back to last week's X-Men Days of Future Past. Sometimes time travel, I just hate it, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, for the most part, I mean, for the action-y kind of portion of Star Trek that we all love, these movies are definitely worth watching. I mean, they're well done. The effects are great. The camera work, aside from like the crazy lens flares that are in your face all the time, other than that, I mean, it's done really well and acted really well. And Simon Pegg, love it. Absolutely love it.
With his Scottish accent.
Yes.
So good. Yeah, I would wager that these movies probably do bring in more people because the way that they kind of look at Star Trek a different way. So anyway, that's out on Netflix, and that is Star Trek Into Darkness. And Jesse has a few more things to say about where you can find us. Have a good day.
Hey guys, just a quick reminder that if any of you would like to be on the show, suggest topics for the show, or just have questions or comments, please let us know at squarepegshow@gmail.com or on our website, squarepegshow.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to us on iTunes. So until next time, guys, be square.